Signs that the artificial intelligence industry is booming are everywhere. Google snatched DeepMind, London-based AI startup, from Facebook for a rumoured $400 million. And IBM is using a computer named Watson to analyse our health records. The list really does go on, and I found myself watching in fascination and fear. Elon Musk recently gave a speech at MIT. You know, the Elon Musk who co-founded PayPal. He's probably one of the technologists of our time. And as a result, you would have thought he would look upon the future of artificial intelligence with excitement. Not so much. He described artificial intelligence as summoning the demon and said that by building a rival to human intelligence, we were creating the biggest threat to face the world. Not war, not the ballooning debts, and not the financial crises, but machines. And he's not alone. Stephen Hawking has expressed worry that these intelligent machines will take our jobs. In today's programme, I intend to find out just what sort of risk artificial intelligence may have on our jobs and whether the depictions of cyborgs in sci-fi movies hold any bearing on reality.
We can find particular historic figures who were very clear that at some point in the future machines would be capable of thinking. And of course, a great one is Alan Turing. Another one is a Cambridge-trained mathematician and statistician called I.J. Goode, who grew up in the East End of London and won a scholarship to Cambridge, did his PhD with the G.H. Hardy, a great Cambridge mathematician, and then went to Bletchley Park to work with Turing. And he and Turing used to spend their evenings off talking about the future of machine intelligence. And they were both convinced, even at that stage in the 40s, that one day machines would be smarter than we are.
Professor Hugh Price, he's Bertrand Russell philosopher at Cambridge University.
And I'm also involved with the new Leiby-Hume Centre for the Future of Intelligence, which is focusing on the challenges of the long-term future of artificial intelligence. People sometimes say, well, we don't even know what intelligence is. How can we be studying the long-term future of it? And to that, I like to say, well, perhaps we should think not about what intelligence is, but about what intelligence does. We know that in many ways, we're the most capable creatures on this planet. And I think it's a fair bet that as artificial intelligence develops, it'll be capable of doing more and more of the things that we do, and in many cases, doing them faster and better. And I think we can also be certain that it will do things that we simply can't do and things that we presently can't imagine.
And this is why, in part, artificial intelligence is so hard to pin down. The idea is that machines would be able to do things that would normally require human intelligence. Take the game Go. It's an ancient Chinese game with a simple concept, surround and occupy territory, but it requires lots of abstract thinking and strategy to win, but also intuition, all skills which we consider to be uniquely human. And yet Google's machine, AlphaGo, beat the world champion Lee Sedol 4-1 this month. This machine, like many other intelligent machines, works by using an algorithm or a set of rules which will determine what move it'll make. A bit like a training manual, so if your opponent occupies this square and this square, do this. But what makes AlphaGo intelligent is that once it understood the rules, it then started to teach itself how to play better. Now, an algorithm in itself is not all that threatening. But an algorithm like Go that can teach itself raises some red flags. Hugh Price again.
I mean, Nick Bostrom's famous example is Paperclip Factory, which has been programmed to produce paperclips, but it's smart enough to recognise that it can produce more paperclips if it removes certain sorts of constraints. And eventually it's turning the whole planet, including us, into paperclips. So it's not malicious, it's just doing what it's been programmed to do. If it discovers that it can maximise on the variables we've given it by changing one of these other ones, if it's smart enough, there's not much we can do about it. And that's one of the things that leads to some of the challenges that we're going to face relatively soon. I mean, for example, there's a very good case for thinking that many, many jobs will be threatened over the next generation or so. If we have one of these systems making important decisions for us, in many cases it's going to be important to find out why it made the decision.